What do we know about phase one of the China trade deal? Not a whole lot. From Marketplace in Austin, Texas, I'm Andy Euler, and for David Brancaccio. As part of phase one of a deal to end the trade war between the U.S. and China, Washington has canceled tariffs on some Chinese goods that were supposed to go into effect this week. But details of the deal are still murky. Here to shed at least a little bit of light on what we do know is our China correspondent, Jennifer Pack, in Shanghai.
The U.S. says in the Phase 1 deal, China has agreed to buy a lot more American goods and services, like in manufacturing, energy, and at least $16 billion more agricultural goods each year for the next two. Chinese officials, though, have not confirmed any dollar amount, just that they have an agreement on issues including agriculture, intellectual property, technology transfer, and transparency. China's state-run press over the weekend has only quoted optimistic opinions on the deal from U.S. media, and that's because Chinese officials have always said that the tariffs hurt consumers in the U.S. more than in China. Right now, the U.S. still has tariffs on two-thirds of Chinese exports, with a portion of those tariffs to be reduced by half to 7.5%. U.S. officials say both sides are aiming to sign the Phase 1 deal in early January. In Shanghai, I'm Jennifer Pack for Marketplace.
Jennifer mentioned U.S. manufacturing as part of that trade deal. Well, a bunch of economic reports on U.S. factory production and construction will be out this week, starting with manufacturing forecasts from purchasing managers later this morning. Manufacturing has been in a bit of a slump lately, and that's been reflected in job losses this year, especially in the industrial upper Midwest. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more.
A host of troubles have beset America's factories this year. Retaliatory tariffs on U.S. exports, the strong U.S. dollar, and the global economic slowdown, says Joseph Bruzuelas at RSM Consulting.
If you look at the domestic U.S. manufacturing sector, it's still contracting.
U.S. manufacturing has added just 56,000 jobs so far this year. More than 250,000 were added in 2018. Automaking jobs are down. Kristen Gicek at the Center for Automotive Research says the new trade agreement with Canada and Mexico may boost employment over the next few years, but down the road, the growth of electric vehicles will likely take jobs away.
Those are much more costly to build, but there are fewer moving parts. Battery production is not as labor-intensive as engine and transmission.
This year, there have been manufacturing job losses across the automaking heartland in Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, and Wisconsin. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up over 2%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are also up in the 1/10 to 4/10 of percent range.
Marketplace helps you answer questions you've always wondered about, and now that includes finding out more about how and why we do what we do every day. Become a Marketplace investor today, and you'll get exclusive access to a series of virtual AMAs featuring Molly Wood, Kai Rizdahl, and me, David Brancaccio. Don't miss out on our 2020 Ask Me Anything series. Contribute $60 or sign up to donate $5 a month at marketplace.org. And thank you.
What would it take to reunite the economically divided America? For the nonprofit think tank, the Brookings Institution, it seems that a direct federal intervention through the creation of new geographically diverse growth centers is the key. Mark Murrow is policy director for the Brookings Metropolitan Policy Programs and co-author of a report suggesting as much. He spoke with Marketplace Morning Report host David Brancaccio last week.
The innovation sector of America's economy, tech and beyond, according to your data, is like five cities in the U.S. That's it.
Yeah, we define it pretty tightly. We look at, you know, highly R&D-oriented, STEM worker-oriented innovation industries. Five places garnered 90-plus percent of all of the growth of our defined innovation sector. So, you know, the strong are getting much stronger and most other places are going sideways or worse.
So first of all, you'd like to spread the innovation, therefore spreading the wealth.
Some have argued that innovation just wants to be where it should be and any outcome is what the market wants. We don't see it that way. We think that a lot of things can happen along the road that lock in maybe suboptimal dynamics. And I think there's a lot of evidence that having the bulk of our innovation sector in a narrow set of coastal metros is leaving huge problems. So we think there are all kinds of reasons to encourage more growth elsewhere in the rest of the country.
I mean, you pitched this idea of a growth center. What is a growth center?
A growth center is a place that is designated to receive substantial federal investments, what we call an innovation surge, to get to the next level of innovation sector growth and change. And we think we should be selecting 8 to 10 places as an experiment to get to that next level.
Do you think you could find bipartisan support for the level of funding that you might like to see?
It will be a heavy lift, but we think there is a growing recognition and perception of emergency in terms of the nation's, geographical divides. And those geographical divides affect blue places and red places. Early response to our idea has been quite bipartisan. Hope springs eternal as we begin to get into discussions about the price tag and legislation, but which we hope will begin soon and think they will.
Mark Miro is senior fellow at Brookings. The paper is called The Case for Growth Centers, How to Spread Tech Innovation Across America. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
You can hear more of David's conversation with Mark Miro on our website, marketplace.org. By this point, you've probably heard about the troubled airplane, the Boeing 737 MAX. Well, Boeing's management board is meeting to talk about what to do about it. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that the company is weighing either suspending or limiting production of the plane and could have a decision by today. Regulators grounded the MAX in March after a fatal crash in Ethiopia, the second one for the plane following one in Indonesia. The accidents took a total of 346 lives. In Austin, Texas, I'm Andy Euler with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.